You're welcome back. And as we've been hearing, Donald Trump has been insisting that Iran's nuclear program was set back decades by US military strikes. This is at odds with a leaked US intelligence report, which says that two of the sites were not destroyed and that the program has probably only been set back by a few months. The conflict in the Middle East is dominating the NATO summit in the Netherlands, where later today leaders are expected to sign up to a substantial increase in defence spending. Let's hear some more of what the US president has been saying.
You and Secretary Rubio and Hegseth mentioned the leak, but can you clarify, is the intelligence correct or is the intelligence wrong?
Well, the intelligence was very inconclusive. Okay. The intelligence says we don't know. It could have been very severe. That's what the intelligence says. So I guess that's correct, but I think we can take that we don't know. It was very severe. It was obliteration. And you'd think that a media outlet would say, isn't that a great thing? I mean, more importantly for the pilots, for the military, you take their guts out. You take their absolute guts out. They had a tremendous attack. It was a complete obliteration. The other team, the other group, Iran, said, let's stop this. And you know what? Israel said it too. Very smart.
Donald Trump speaking in The Hague this morning. Joining us is Professor Andrew Cotty of the Department of Government and Politics at UCC. Will you sketch in some of the background to this report for us? It's been widely leaked over the past few hours and it was compiled by the Pentagon. What else do we know about it?
Well, in these kinds of circumstances, the US will be doing what they call a battle damage assessment. So they will have satellites, for example, trying to see exactly how much of Iran's nuclear facilities have been destroyed by these attacks that the US undertook. And I guess the key thing was that the US was using for the first time these very large bunker busting bombs, as they're called. So the aim was to try and destroy these deeply embedded underground facilities. I think the truth is we don't really know. I mean, if looking at some of these reports, it appears that the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency, so this is the source that's cited in this, was making, you know, estimates of what it said, low confidence. So I think, you know, that the Americans don't really know is the honest matter of it, I think. I think the other thing that's really worth noting, though, is it's not just the physical facilities. So Fordo was this the main facility that was attacked by the US, but it's also the highly enriched uranium, which is the key ingredient that you need for a nuclear weapon. And it's quite likely that the highly enriched uranium was actually taken out of these facilities and moved somewhere else and hidden by the Iranians once the Israeli attacks began. So it seems quite likely that even if some of the physical facilities have been destroyed, this key element of the highly enriched uranium, probably the Iranians still have that, which is why some people are suggesting that the Israeli and US military action may only have set the Iranian program back by perhaps as little as a matter of months.
Meanwhile, in the Netherlands, NATO countries expected to sign up to a large increase in defence spending, which has been a persistent demand from Donald Trump. But does everyone agree with this?
Well, most of NATO's member states are. So what's going to be agreed today is to try to hit the target of 5% of GDP defence spending by 2035. That 3.5% of actual defence spending and then another 1.5% on related infrastructure, things like cyber security and so on. Spain has to some extent been disputing this. Spain is suggesting that it can reach its NATO military contribution without moving to this 5% and 3.5% of defence spending. This can be portrayed, I think, as a success, if you like, for Donald Trump, because President Trump has long been criticizing the Europeans for underspending on defense and for being free riders. But I think the other thing to note is that there's still a big question about the US commitment to NATO. In the last day or so, President Trump has said he's in all the way with NATO and the other NATO member states. But we also know that the US is talking about withdrawing military forces from Europe. The US has what's called a posture review, which is looking at its military posture, its military forces. And it's likely later this year that the US will announce some reductions in its military forces in Europe. So all of that means that notwithstanding what could be viewed as a successful summit for NATO, the real future for NATO is still quite uncertain.
Is this why we've seen several leaders, most notably the head of NATO, Mark Rutte, kowtowing to Mr. Trump? I mean, obsequious doesn't begin to describe it.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's striking. If you look at how this summit has been managed, it's been very carefully stage managed to try and avoid any diplomatic flare-ups with President Trump. Normally, these summits last 2 or 3 days. The leaders are there for 1 or 2 days. There are very long discussions with the leaders. But essentially, the aim has been really to minimize the amount of time that President Trump is actually there and to avoid any diplomatic flare-ups. And as you say, Mark Rutte in particular has really been playing the Trump card, trying to play up to President Trump or President Trump's achievements in relation to NATO and in relation to Iran. But this is all short-term diplomatic stuff. It doesn't get over the point I made a minute ago that at some point in later this year, we're quite likely to have an announcement of a significant US military withdrawal from NATO. So on the one hand, from NATO's perspective, the summit might be a diplomatic success, but it doesn't really address the longer-term questions.
Professor Andrew Cotty of UCC, thank you for talking to us.